Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.
Let me perhaps start the conversation by laying the foundation right before you can answer my questions. The truth is that we're living through a technological revolution, and it promises to transform the way that we live and the way that we work in many ways. In fact, it's not even promising to, it is already transforming the way we live and we work. Artificial intelligence is no longer a futuristic concept. I didn't even know some time back that this was something that was coming. But once it was here, it took the world by storm. It is here, it is embedded in our daily lives, and it is rapidly reshaping the workplace, from automating routine tasks to managing even the job application process itself. This rapid integration of AI may be a source of anxiety for some people, sparking concerns about widespread job displacements. I've heard people be very scared that they will be replaced by AI, and in so many instances, they have been. And for others, it could represent an unprecedented opportunity to boost productivity, like it has in my instance. It frees humans to focus on creativity as well as strategy, and perhaps even create new job roles that we may have never imagined were possible. And so with that in mind, I think the first thing that I want to ask you is that many people are asking the same question: will AI steal my job, or will it simply change how I do it? And what is your response when people ask that question?
So it's actually a question that has been recurring quite a bit. Perhaps just to help understand that context of AI taking jobs, it's a historical fact that as humanity continues to advance in adoption of new ways of life, there are cultures, ecosystems, and just lifestyles that collapse as you adopt a new posture that enables us to adapt to the new environment, capable of making us survive to the what may be the requirements of that current ecosystem. So it's inevitable, even before just looking at the jobs itself, that will require new skills. It's evolutionary in nature, but humanity has evolved and adopt new skills. And these skills are requisite in enabling the humanity, which is now, for example, the workforce, to survive and bring to the fusion results that are pertinent to the sustainability of the lifestyle and the economy. So it is true that AI is going to take away some jobs, and it's also inevitable to do that.
Yeah. And what kind of jobs are at the threat of AI? What kind of jobs are we seeing AI replacing in the marketplace?
So first, you look at the nature of the technology itself. Mm. I know the previous episodes you've talked about what AI is. Mm. And where it sits in the in business and also in our day-to-day life. So it would be important to note there's some jobs that are higher risk. So maybe just to refresh yourself and just look at what AI itself is. So AI is the use of data and algorithms to solve business problems, and not just business problems, to solve, rather to predict outcomes of a different nature. And these are in different areas, such as healthcare, agriculture, finance, and so on. So when you look at that principle of use of data and algorithms, you now try to zero in on the aspects of the nature of work. So work is classified in terms of the processes that you take to produce an output. So there's some work that follows a set of rules, and there is some work that follows judgment. So having said that, the work that follows a set of rules, so for example, jobs that are regulated, with this, you can think about accounting. Mm. You can think about jobs which are can be programmable into a software. On the other, spectrum, you find jobs that are judgment-based. These are jobs that involve human, more human-to-human touch. Mm. So we're talking about jobs like teaching. Mm. We're talking about jobs like doctors, art-based jobs like music. So when you just look at that constitutionality, you find the jobs that are high on automation mm. are the jobs that we call rule-based jobs. Mm. Yeah, so these are jobs that follow several conditionalities. For example, mm. in accounting, you know, when you're preparing a balance sheet, one entry goes left and that goes right.
Mm.
If you're doing a ledger, for example, in a production, automation for industries, mm. yeah, there's a process that it follows that's replicable and it's repetitive in nature. Mm. Yeah, so jobs that are quite repetitive in nature actually are high on automation. So that's just the first rule of thumb for you to consider jobs that are at risk of being obliterated by AI.
Mm. I hear you. And are there some real-world yeah. examples of how AI is already integrated into workplaces today that many of us may not even realize?
Yes. Yes, mm-hmm. yes. So currently, maybe just post-COVID, mm. We've seen a dichotomy, which is the different types of workers in the workplace.
Mm.
We have workers that we call borrowed workers. Mm. So borrowed workers are workers who contracted to work on specific functions over a short period of time. Mm. We have bought workers, bought, B-O-G-H-T. These are workers who are paid the salary at the end of the month. Those are full-time employees. Mm. You have build workers. So these build workers are the gig workers, workers that you will go to platforms such as Upwork and hire them to deliver certain specific tasks, e.g. building a website for you or doing a digital strategy. They don't sit remotely. They work remotely, sitting in different countries and also work online. There is a the last type of worker who's called a bot. A bot, B-O-T.
Mm.
So a bot is essentially a robot.
Mm.
That is where we have a term that we call a cobot.
Mm.
C-O-B-O-T,
mm.
which is a human working alongside a robot
mm.
to produce specific tasks for their day-to-day work. Yeah. So having said that, you now start to realize why we keep talking about upskilling,
mm.
Where professionals are being encouraged to learn about AI. And one such robot tool is ChatGPT.
Mm.
You can already see how different professionals are using ChatGPT
mm-hmm.
to fast track or accelerate production processes. For example, if you're producing a report, go and query ChatGPT. If you're producing, for example, analytics, what to analyze certain assets, you can use ChatGPT. So it actually replaced search, which is Google. Yeah, and maybe later on I may talk about some of those approaches in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I hope that indicates every level of a profession is not spared.
Mm-hmm.
Be it in marketing, be it in finance, legal, healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There are different ChatGPT, for example, agentic AI, who are designed to help specific professions deliver certain specific types of work.
Mm.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind if you go down that path right now instead of later. You're welcome to explore that path with us right now.
So in terms of the approach
mm.
to use of AI mm. in the workplace.
Mm.
Yeah, so we do have, for example, the what you don't call agentic AI. Agentic AI is kind of simulation that is designed to automate workflows for specific jobs. So, for example, if you're in HR and you like to create an AI agent, agent is an assistant that helps you work. So that's essentially a cobot. You can be able to create an agent that helps you do recruitment. If your key work is around payroll processing, you can create an agent that helps you with the processing of the payroll. So what does it entail, basically? So you have the skills, you need to have the skills of the AI, of course, because you're well-grounded in your day-to-day work. You know what your process entails. You now marry that to the AI tools. Those AI tools are essential because they now help you to automate the workflow. So the reason why we call it an agent is because it utilizes the different artificial intelligence infrastructure and also combines it with your intuitive knowledge of the workflow. So someone who is in finance, for example, cannot create a workflow for a marketer. So it can only be created by someone who is in that profession. Yeah. And that's the second generation of AI that we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of people moving away from just surface utilization of ChatGPT. They're going deeper into creating those AI agents, specific jobs. Yeah. So you have lawyers with their own agents, you've got doctors with their own agents, you've got engineers with their own agents, architects with their own agents. So all these agents are profession specific and they are coming in to augment the work processes. Yeah. So we're also seeing the birth of what we call full stack AI. So full stack AI is those AIs that have come in and are saying we're not going to have employees here. So we'll have an agent doing the work of lawyers. So you have almost an office which could have 50 lawyers, but you don't have those 50 lawyers. You probably have just two guys, lawyers, who now regulate and supervise what the agent does. But the work that's done by those agents is quite it's quite humongous. It cannot be achieved with a human.
Yeah. I hear you. On the other end of job displacements, we also have new roles that are emerging. So what new job opportunities or entirely new fields might be created as AI becomes more prevalent?
So we are seeing advance of new jobs. So for example, this AI sits on top of particular infrastructure. So we have data centers being built. Data centers store data. And also GPUs, those graphic processing units, those are the tokens that are used to analyze data when the AI models are running. Now, this require physical infrastructure. So as a result, there is a lot of infrastructure being built in different parts of the world that are going to demand a lot of engineering skills. So we are seeing very simple mundane jobs such as plumbing, carpentry, masonry, electricians being required, and the demand is growing. The tech side or the middle tech side also we find data engineers. These are jobs of professionals who prepare the infrastructure that these AI engines run, and those are going to be also the increase. On the last mile, that's where the technology meets the applications. We have now the things like prompt engineering. So prompt engineering is a skill that is not a professional who might understand how do I query in the right language for me to get the right outputs out of the AI engine. Yeah. So also we have agentic engineers. So these are professionals who sit alongside the other professions to help them build specific agents with a specific job task. So, for example, you have an engineer for AI sitting with lawyers to help them build an agent for law. And another agent, CTBG, with a marketers to build an agent or a robot for automating marketing tasks. Yeah, so those are the kind of jobs you're seeing being on the increase at the moment. And if you most check these things of jobs, yeah, you'll see a lot of those jobs being advertised on LinkedIn and other platforms.
Please speak to us about the human-machine collaboration. What does that look like in practice? So how do humans and AI function as teammates rather than competitors?
So the two levels to look at it. So there is what we call the AGI, artificial general intelligence, and then there's artificial super intelligence. So the generation of machine to human collaboration that we're experiencing now is artificial general intelligence, AGI. And that's like the ChatGPT that we're seeing. So this automation requires a human to model. Yeah, so it requires a lot of cross-pollination, a lot of building, annotation. Annotation means correcting the weight. There's a wrong input, so it's pretty much controlled by the human. So to that extent, we still require the human to work alongside the AI to moderate it. As much as there's some level of learning, as there's a concept we call machine learning, where this artificial intelligence learns to create and have knowledge of its own. But that's only for a certain period of time. What researchers have been working on is artificial superintelligence. This is when the human will be less and less required, where this artificial intelligence ecosystems learn. Themselves. That brings about some areas of risk, so which we may be able to talk about later. However, at the moment, we still have a good control of what the artificial intelligence can do. We have regulations coming up to show which areas do you protect the consumer from. Application of AI, for example, in healthcare, agriculture, finance, and some of the very sensitive areas for this society could be harmed, a bigger constraint in terms of application by the regulator, which is the government coming up with policies to regulate the application in those areas.
And for someone who may be worried about their career, what is the single most important piece of advice you can offer them to future-proof their skill set?
So I think for you to understand the gravity of the issue that's waiting upon the workforce, it'd be just be good to reflect during the digitization era, which was the third industrial revolution, when we had digitization, we had careers obliterated because of use of computers. Remember, there used to be jobs such as copy typists, we used to have clerks, would tally and do things on pen and paper. But then the computers came in the mid-90s, going into the 2000s, and a lot of those jobs now disappeared. And because of the use of those technologies. So we're not talking about the fourth industrial revolution and artificial intelligence being one of the leading technology. There are other technologies that are auxiliary to it. We have things like blockchain, we have IoT, we have cloud computing, we have quantum computing. Those are other auxiliary technologies that are also underway. However, for artificial intelligence, because already we can experience in the workplace, for example, last week was an announcement by Amazon that there will be laying off 16,000 employees because of the drive towards adopting to use of AI. So already we are seeing that coming as a profit. As companies strive to grow on their profit margins, they're doing away with the jobs that are high on automation. So what do you need to take care of for the moment is upskilling. make sure you're on the right side of the technology. You're not letting the technology drive you, yeah, but you're the one driving it. So how do you do that? There are various courses you can be able to latch on, because AI is going to be brutal with those members of the workforce who don't understand how to work alongside the AI. There are going to be benign effects on our employees who work with AI, because they'll have a place in the organization to use those applications. But those who actually are very, they're the ones who have a blind eye to the adoption of this AI will be brutal effects in terms of not finding a place to hold when this evolution is underway. So it's encouraged that you find a course aligned to your profession that can show you an AI version of your career.
I hear you. And what are some of the key ethical concerns around bias and transparency in AI algorithms? And what safeguards should organizations very much be aware of?
So one of the critical areas that's been emerging lately because of continuous use of this is the whole concept of artificial intelligence relies on a scientific process of training the AI model, as you call it, using existing data. Now, this data is information that's collected from the near environment. Now, you'll find out a lot of these AI models have been built, especially in the West. I can talk in this context because we're in Africa. Now you find that there's a lot of bias because the data that we use to train those models does not recognize the cultural nuances, for example, of our African context. One good example is an AI model that identifies black face, what we call facial recognition technology. And so that AI model is not accurate like it will recognize the faces of other races. And this is because of the region, we've not invested heavily in resources to be able to help us drive the studies and also get that adoption of our local data to train the models. So in retrospect, we find that we, as a region, we are a bit left behind in terms of application. The other area is also in language. In very simple language translation AI models, you'll find them making errors. Yeah, so there's one that will talk about this and deviates. The accuracy levels is maybe 40% compared to the other languages. So there's still a bit of work to do there in terms of addressing the issue of bias and also bringing to speed the aspect of accuracy, building on local capacity. The other big area is on the use of AI in fields such as medicine. We still have not been able to get well documented output from those AI models. So it's risky, for example, for doctors to rely on those AI models because they may not provide a clearer picture in terms of diagnosis and such kind of applications of prescriptions and all that. Yeah, so these actual studies take a long time to be validated. And that again comes in a big challenge now of how do you bring these applications to use in our local context as Africa. So those are just some of the top of mind, the three areas that I'm seeing the risks coming in. One, in terms of unavailability of local data in terms of African context. Secondly, the duration of time that we take to bring those models and resources required as Africa. So those, we don't have enough data centers to have. Then lastly, now in terms of the limited applications, there's some sensitive areas, for example, in law, healthcare, and finance, there's a prohibition of use of AI models in day-to-day work.
Got you. And what is one thing that employers should focus on if they want to adopt AI responsibly and ensure that it improves their workplace culture as well as their employee well-being?
Okay, just come again on that question.
I was asking, what is one thing that employers should focus on if they want to adopt AI responsibly and ensure that it improves their workplace culture and employee well-being?
So the bigger focus now for employers is to develop a strategy which will enable them to upskill and, a roadmap, the vision, which assesses the risk. Maybe just look at a simple SWOT analysis. What are the opportunities? What are the strengths of the organization? What are the threats? Then when that is mapped out, be able to deploy enough resources in terms of even if the company is profitable at the moment, is it going to be profitable in the next 2-3 years? Yeah. Because we are seeing a shift in terms of evaluation of companies that are coming in to challenge the status quo of incumbents who have been leading the path in terms of profitability just by use of agile use of resources. So in that regard, we have we have more investments being driven more towards innovation and mainstreaming the applications of AI in the day-to-day life of our profession. So, for example, if you have an academic institution or university still training students in traditional models of financial bookkeeping, I think that's not doing justice to those students, because by the time they'll be graduating, there'll be no place for them at the workplace. So you find that organizations already are aware in terms of the skills which are required. There's a shift in terms of the job expectations of the JDs. There'll be key requirements that will be shifting away from traditional careers. So the workplace is changing. Organizations need to be cognizant to that. The situation of the workforce is drastically shifting. That investment has to be put in terms of where do you resource your employees more, avoid the risk of redundancy and career decay, as we call it.
Sure. And what would you say to somebody who is sitting on the fence and perhaps even dragging their feet as it relates to getting on the bandwagon and using AI as a tool for their own advancement before we wrap up the show?
Yeah. Okay, so I think for where we are now, we are already out of the winter period. The winter period is that period where you don't understand whether this technology will take off. Yeah, now we're in the what we call the plateau of productivity. We've already seen how the impact of this technology has been in different industries. One in terms of profitability, one in terms of job redundancies, efficiencies. So if there's anyone still doubting the advantages of this technology, be only wise so that you can sell the coffee and start adapting to the youth, to learning how these skills are going to affect the career. So there's some additional resources that are useful for understanding this. You can be able to check online and see the different automation risks, the different jobs. There have been various studies which have been done in different areas. And I think every month there's a study being done that addresses that aspect. Yeah, so it's important that we appreciate and utilize those technologies to adopt to the narrative of change that's coming.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for all the wisdom and the gems you just dropped. I really hope that people will hop on the bandwagon and realize that it's not AI that will replace people. I think it's people who don't realize their value, you know, people who are indistinct in the value that they add and in the skills that only they can bring to the platform and to the organization who will replace themselves. So thank you very much for this chat.
You're welcome.
Cheers, Timothy. Have a lovely evening.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.